Guys, this week gave us all the feels. There was not a dry eye on this panel. So thanks so much for joining us. We're talking all about episode 7, The Most Disappointed Man. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, with the lights too.
We
had to spice it up a little bit after all the tears from this episode.
So hard to be happy,
right?
Afterwards, so.
Oh.
I'm really enjoying this. Yes. Time after time, if you guys remember during the episode, Toby was proposing, not with this version, but he was proposing with this song. So we thought it was applicable. Spice it up a little bit. What is up, AfterBuzzers? Thank you so much for joining us. Week 7 already, guys.
Crazy.
Yeah. Episode 7. What is going on? My name is Candace Cruz. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host over here.
I'm so happy to be back.
You're back.
Welcome.
Making a statement with that orange. I feel like we're Halloween. We missed last week.
We need some pop, so I'm going to bring in the color. I'm Keith Andre. You guys can follow me everywhere at Keith_Andre.
And I'm Lena Nori. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori.
And Lena is also back. Welcome back. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
Woohoo! I was gone.
I'm still jamming to this.
Just kidding.
The gang's all here.
Okay. All right.
I was feeling it.
I mean, we could keep going. Right. But we got a lot to talk about.
I think they want us to talk. Yeah.
I feel like they like our dance moves, but I think they like us discussing the episode a lot more.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to laugh right now after I cried so much during this episode.
So much. I was watching you.
Oh my God.
I was just like, every time it just hit me.
Yeah.
Hard.
Out of the corner of my eye, I just saw you going.
I mean,
pulling the corners of your ass.
We got adoption, we got jail, we got drugs, we got proposals,
mm-hmm.
we got baby announcements, we got denying proposals. I just couldn't handle all of it.
Oh my God, breakups, that, like.
Literally all of that happened in one episode, guys.
How much this episode.
It was such a good episode, though.
Yes, it was.
Yep. And right from the opener, with Young William, played by, shout out to Jamel Nakia. I had to look him up because that monologue, I just felt like it really set the tone for the whole episode. Yeah. By like the second commercial, I was like, okay, I don't think that I can watch anymore tonight because my feelings are like not intact.
That line that he said, I wrote this down and I think I'm going to butcher it, but he was like, if you had my life, you would do that too, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You would use to. And I just, like, my heart broke.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know that this was set back earlier time, like we're going back in time to see William's life, but this is so applicable today.
Absolutely.
Like, it's such, like, a reflection of what all is going in our system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the judicial system's just all kinds of messed up. And hearing the judge's perspective of him, like, I saw both perspectives from both of those men, and I feel like when he said, you may be the most disappointed in the man in the world, but I'm a close second, you always forget that there's always two sides to the coin on both. Yeah. On both of their stories. So that was really hard to watch. But
going back to that quote that young William had when he was saying, like, this time last year, I had my mother still here. I had my girl still here. We were having a child together. And all of that's gone. Like, and the way that you can fall so much in a year's time that you're in front of the police. In front of the judge.
Right.
It's just... For him to just be so, and if you remember from last season when he was with his mom, when he was with his girlfriend, wife, I don't remember exactly what the status was, but he was so full of life. He was happy. And then you just see him just, everything just drained out of him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I love the most about this scene in particular is I've always felt like this show does an excellent job of bringing up like specific social topics without giving a lot of emphasis on it. It just kind of like shines to light and it's showing... like our rate of incarceration, that some of these people were just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like the judge was in the room telling them someone stole a TV and got
5 years.
Mm-hmm. 5 years for the TV, and then another person got 10 years. And he's saying like how many of these people he's disappointed that he has to sign this, but it's not, he's like, you'd be surprised. I'm the judge, but it's not in my control. And it kind of sheds to light, I think, an important topic that's like goes on in the United States. I mean, we are like one of the highest countries with incarceration, right? So I thought, I was glad that that's kind of what they opened up. But there was such an emotional scene, and it was showing a different side, that he was just truly someone that had lost, as you said, his mother, his wife, and then she puts, or his girl, and puts his son in a box.
Yeah.
And
I was just going to say, I think a lot of the times, what's great about the episode and that scene in particular is they did just come straight out the gun and they hit us over the head. So it was a bit overwhelming. But a lot of the times when you think of like convicts or criminals, it's easy to lose the humanity and the companionship or empathy that we have for people we see as people, because a lot of times we don't see them that way. And so, you know, with his statement and his monologue, he was able to bring that back. And it also was kind of the perfect mirror or display of what one who may not be a person of color, what like what an ally looks like, because we got to see the judge and he gave his feelings like, you, yeah, I can't take away the fact that you may be the most disappointed, but I think I come in a close second and I'm still, you know, in this fight with you. So I think it was a really good depiction, and it was something important to see for today as well.
What I liked so much is like they did address like the taboo subject of like the judicial system being so messed up, is that a black man standing in front of that judge probably got a higher like life sentence or a higher sentence just for the exact same crime if someone else of a different color or a different race went up in front of that judge. And I think what they did so beautifully with the juxtaposition that we saw at the very end, you know, of it being a white judge with William and then a black judge with Rebecca and Jack, and seeing the two different sides, and it was just so beautiful, even that last shot where the two of them
came full circle.
But it was just so like beautifully, I'm getting chills, just executed the way that they did it, of trying to show everybody's perspective. Like, both judges were doing the best that they could and what their perspective was on the situation and where they, the lens that they're looking through. And, like, it was just...
It was so good. Oh, and it so showed good. How impacted you, how, just how impacted we all are by race. It doesn't have to be the 0 to 100. It's not all about being a quote-unquote racist in that situation, but to see with the Pearsons wanting to adopt Randall and then a black judge, you know, his perspective. So you got to see how we all like have to deal with race and just how big of a dynamic it can be. It's not a one-sided, it's not a black and white thing. So I thought they did a great job of just bringing so much perspective and like shedding light, and in many ways things that we haven't seen. We don't always see, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, we don't always see like a black community, or you know, you don't always see that on television. And so they do such a great job of showcasing that and showcasing it in a multi, like, faceted, like, it's layered, it's so many dimensions, it's not just one-sided. So.
And the fact that in that last scene with those two judges, they're asking each other, did you do anything good today? Like, what did you do good today? And they were like, I don't know, I have no idea. Because you don't know what you do will have, what impact it'll have on somebody else. So, Judge Crowley, I think his name was, the white judge, basically saving Randall. I mean, not Randall, sorry. Saving William. He doesn't know if William's going to go and get clean and then stay clean for the rest of his life. He's like, I'm hoping, but there's no way of me knowing that. And the same with the other judge. I think his name is Radley, who was played by Delroy Lindo. He's saying, I don't know if leaving Randall with the Pearsons is going to do well for him.
But you know what's so fascinating, and I just had this, like, moment, is that both of those men, their decision that they made, what, 30-something years ago, completely changed the course of both of those men's lives.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, William was about to use again. He pictured his face, and then that moment, because that other judge put Randall in that home, inadvertently, he had another judge make the call, but inadvertently put Randall in that home, and their paths lined up at that last moment and stopped him. And it was just like, oh my God.
I don't know how they come up with this stuff. Even for it to be just a couple degrees of like separation between the two. Like, I thought that was brilliant.
And to bring it all the way back around to the very beginning.
And even at the end with the judge, you know, he gave up the case to the next judge. And I love the fact that they picked another African-American judge. She, as you can tell, had, you know, less hesitation and less judgment. And it was like, it was nothing. And if anything, she was like, thank you so much for choosing love. Like, this is easy for me to sign and put this into law. So,
and she's
if they would have picked anyone else, I feel like I wouldn't have felt complete. I like the fact that, they're trying to show that not everybody is like that. Not everybody that's African American would feel the same way.
Exactly.
But I do agree with some people, with Deborah in the chat, that, you know, you were saying it too, and you guys were both saying it during the episode, that there are people that would feel that certain way. Like, it's not that Rebecca and Jack wouldn't be good enough parents. I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of you guys, but
yeah,
it's just that there's an understanding that they can get from being in a different family. And I get the judge's point, but I love the fact that they gave us a new judge, also African American, right, female, and she was just lit up and like, thank you for choosing love. Because Rebecca's face was like, oh no. Mm-hmm. You could tell it was like, where is this going to go? And it was just...
For sure.
I think they did a really good job of putting everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I loved it. I mean, keeping with the whole... This whole episode, I didn't realize how much there was in courtrooms and jail. But, I mean, most of the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Who knew Rebecca invented Photoshop? I like that.
Oh, my God. That's super funny.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, I get it. He's like, we don't get a lot of people like you. I don't know how to balance.
Right. I thought that was so cute. So
which is real. Honest. It's like, difficult.
There's even, like, documentaries about that, how they, like, in film, different ways of lighting when you have to light differently when you have like all different skin tones. It's just so fascinating.
Now you can face tune, you can visco, you can light room, you can dark room,
you can do all of it.
Make it happen.
All of it.
You definitely can.
But back to Deja and her mama. Yeah. Oh, that was some heartfelt crap from all people involved.
It was.
I'm trying to keep it PC.
Right. Yes. I do want to say shout out Aaliyah in the chat, because she's making mention of how she felt like their storyline with Deja was kind of reminiscent to Losing Isaiah.
Never seen it.
I don't know either.
I know about it. I've just never seen
it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Losing Isaiah is a movie with Halle Berry, but it kind of parallels, because Halle Berry was, you know, I don't want to say like a crack mom, but she like was.
Tell the truth.
She used drugs, and her son was Isaiah, who was, you know, they were trying to adopt him. She ended up wanting him back, like that sort of fight. So it was parallel with that, because we got to see Deja's mom, Shauna, in jail, and she made it very clear that, you know what, I feel that I didn't have choices, and I know you feel this way, but at the end of the day, I have this love. I feel that I'm best for my child, and I want you to know that I'm coming for her.
And they did such a great job on perspective, because we're seeing everybody's perspective, and I side with everybody. I really do. There wasn't one that was like, okay, I still side with so-and-so. I get every perspective, because everyone, again, is coming from a different place, and they're all just trying to do the best that they can. And even with the social worker, which I love her. She does a fantastic job. Where he like comes up to her because Deja's mom said she couldn't come, and he's like, who's looking out for these kids? And she's like, hold up.
Yeah, she was like, excuse me?
Do not.
You don't even understand.
And a kudos to anyone that is a social worker or has to do that, because that has to be one of the hardest
jobs in
the world, to go home and realize that you can't help every single one of these kids.
Yeah. And the judges.
Yeah, all
their
of
job
them.
Too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To know that you're sealing someone's fate, like every single day when you go to work, you're sealing someone's fate. You can't change it.
Exactly. And you don't know how it's going to turn out, but you just know that it's going to be.
You have to kind of go in that direction. And like you said, I think it was such a, you know, just a good display of just showing, like, humanity, which they always do.
Right.
But we get to see, I think a lot of the times with, you know, social issues or with life or things, we think it's easy to kind of overlook them or to think that you can argue what someone else would do. But the learning lesson is you can't argue experience. You can't argue intent. So my experience of a situation, we can disagree on the facts, but this is my experience of it. And we got to see that with Shauna. We got to see that with Randall. We got to see that with Rebecca.
Beth fought. And I loved it, seeing her switch tones a lot more. And Randall's like, wait a second, I thought I was going to be the one upset. Now you're trying to, I mean, who are we playing here? Which role am I playing tonight?
When he defended his wife to Deja's mom.
Oh, yes.
When Deja's mom made
a literal reaction, he said, don't get it twisted.
Sis.
I wake up next to a headscarf and coconut oil. I'm with a black queen.
Let's say it.
Whoever wrote those lines, if it was Sterling ad-libbing, I don't know. Right. But shout out to y'all, because that was represent for Black love. I'm sorry.
That was beautiful.
It was wonderful.
And the fact that she assumed, just because of the way he is, and he was like well-spoken, and he wants her to go to like a different school and be a cheerleader. She's like, oh, let me guess, your wife is white? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, because I like that. I like that it's not racism from one side.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can be any race. There's, you know, if you're Hispanic or you're Asian or you're Middle Eastern, there's so many different racial slurs out there. There's racism from so many different areas. So I like the fact that, A, he stood up for his woman like a champ. And he was like, don't get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
He was too much, though, I feel like. A little bit. He's not as understanding as I thought Randall would be.
And he said it earlier when he tried to cover Deja's eyes. It's parental instinct. Like, same with Beth. Like, they're coming in as parents. They care for this girl now. Yeah. Like, they want her to be as protected as possible. And so he's like, anything that looks like it's going to be a danger to her, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. And the fact that he went even to see Shauna was enough to be like, okay, he's really... And he said it at the end of the episode, we're falling for this kid. Like, yeah, it's going to be a fight,
well,
I feel like.
He changed his tune for sure. Like, him in the glass, and he was like, you're not going to get mm-hmm. her. You're going to get a fight. And then him actually letting them communicate. I feel like it was literally what they showed us at the end, which was Randall's history of his life and how his life would have been or could have been very different if William had raised them versus getting raised by Rebecca. It's almost, I kind of felt, I don't know if you guys agree, that he was picturing him as being like the Jack and Rebecca, and then picturing like William being her mom, like how they're trying to make better decisions, mm-hmm, how mm-hmm. in the future she could have a part in his life and be.
And also, I think what he said was so telling is that people were making decisions for my life before I had the chance to. Deja is still a child, but she is old enough. Like, children are very intuitive at a very young age, and she's seen more than Randall has probably ever seen in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at the end of the day, yes, he's trying to be protective, but he also realizes what's best for her is that being able to still have communication with her mother.
Yes.
Because even though you don't want it, and all you want to do is be like, no, we're protecting you, like, this is best. She's also at the age where sometimes you don't always know what is best for your kid. You just have to do what you can do.
Yeah. And I also think it gives him insight into what Rebecca was going through by not telling.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I don't want to do to Deja what my parents did to me.
Yeah.
I want to give her the opportunity, because who knows? Deja might see something happen with her mom where Deja's like, okay, I need to separate myself. And come to that, like you're saying, Candace, she's old enough where she can make those decisions for herself.
And I agree with that, too. Yeah. But for Talina's point, I do think maybe a piece of it got lost in translation, because we did definitely see a different side of Randall. He was much, much, so much more bravado, and was
not
intense.
Understanding.
And then at the end, we got to see the shift, but we didn't necessarily see the shift.
Yeah, I
don't think he shifted, though. I think he's still angry at her. Mm-hmm. I think he hasn't shifted anything from what he said in that police department. But he knows that.
Well, he's a bit. He's definitely more open minded about
it.
Because
I don't think so.
But he is, like, through the glass. He was definitely hardcore. You're gonna have to come through me.
But this
is gonna be a fight. Rah rah rah. And then he said, "Well, you know what? I realized these things. She's gonna call Deja. She wants to be a part of." I feel that there was a shift. I do feel that he went through that experience.
I mean, I get that. I do. But what I'm making my point is that he has not. I don't think he changed from the moment he was yelling at her through the glass, from the moment that he let Deja talk on the phone. I think he's just realizing that, like, I gotta do what I gotta do. Like, I gotta let her still have communication with her mother, whereas he's still gonna have that hard front to his mother. I mean, to her mother. She's just getting a phone call.
I don't think that he would always have a hard front to the mother if she's gonna be in Deja's life as well, because if that was the case, and if he's drawn on his past experiences, William was able to come into his life. And so I think that he's going to open up to that. The only shift, I agree, I don't think his stance changes, but his approach was just different.
Yeah.
I don't think it was typical Randall that we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I agree that he's going to stick to wanting to keep her and protect her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think what Keith was saying, what I was saying as well, is that there was kind of a shift in his understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He was less understanding when he was in the prison, and then I feel like he kind of started relating it towards his experience with William, and it did go by so quick. Like, it literally was, I saw the mom, she was in jail, and then she's on the phone. Like, there wasn't anything at the end. It just kind of went bop, bop, bop.
Well, I think that's partly, too, because he went in with the idea that Shauna just didn't want to see Deja. Mm-hmm. And then he comes to realize, okay, well, she didn't want her to see her after getting jumped. Okay, maybe I'm softening a little bit. Now I hear that Shauna still wants to fight for Deja. Okay, maybe she's not as bad as I thought she was. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where he gets to the point where he's like, okay, we can keep an eye on the involvement that Shauna and Deja have, but we can let her have a phone call.
So we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, because they didn't show us that. They didn't even show giving the phone number.
We didn't see him shift from learning that she was jumped to being. We didn't see a compassion towards her in their exchange. He still was very much
like, you know, it's your intense fault. The reason why she's gone through X, Y, Z from home to home. Yeah, and even when he said she gave him the phone number, I was like, where was all that? Like, I feel like everything was kind of, not slow-paced, but showing us a lot more, and then the end was just so quick. I was like, how did you go from that to it's everything that's happening to her, and you didn't think about her, and I will fight you to the bone, to, oh, she's calling.
I feel like I wouldn't show my hand, though. If I'm really threatened by this woman, and I don't want to give that daughter and that child back, I'm not going to show my hand, but at the same time, I'm going to be like, listen, like, I get it.
You're showing your hand then.
No, not necessarily.
I'm going to put up a front, but then you can call my house and talk to her and y'all can kiki on the phone.
Well, you can at least control the situation a little bit better.
I do think there was a furthering conversation that we didn't see when it went to commercial. Yeah,
of course.
I think that when Shauna says, I've been through worse, that might have clicked in. Because we saw Randall's face before it went to commercial.
So
I think that was him being like, oh man, maybe she has been. Maybe I can help to make her life better by doing this one thing for her.
Right.
Maybe this one gesture will allow her to be like, you know what, I'm really going to change my life now. I'm going to see that my daughter's in a good place. So now I'm going to work doubly hard to change some things when I get out.
Yeah. We just needed three extra minutes of Randall showing us. You guys made
you just
us,
needed like three. Just you, three.
You made us cry enough all episode. You should have given us some hope, the little light at the end of the tunnel, and show Randall. But I think we're all, it's like we're talking about everything. We're all valid in our points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there was just like boom, 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 not understanding. She's explaining she didn't have choices. You may have had choices, and I didn't see what I would expect from Randall normally.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, we can understand him because it's his character.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's something that's far-fetched. We get it. It's just that it would have been nice to kind of peer into it. And maybe in the, you know, episodes to come, we'll kind of see more of that shit.
That'll peel back. I did want to say, though, about that line about choices, another movie that made me think of was Dangerous Minds, where one of the students, if you haven't seen it, it's about a teacher, Michelle Pfeiffer, who goes and teaches in Los Angeles public school,
right.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the students is saying, like, I can either choose to get on the bus or I don't. It's not a choice. Like, I either get on the bus or I have to deal with the life outside my front door. And she was like, well, that is a choice. And that just hearing Shauna talk about, like, I didn't have choices. People with choices get to say that I have choices. I think that's going to impact Randall and Beth's decision making going forward.
Yeah, I agree.
And doesn't it make you guys wonder when you are seeing that scene of him behind the glass and her saying, I didn't have those choices, what would have Randall's life been if he was raised by William and his mother? I'm not saying the life would have ended up the same, but it is that, you know, you were given a different opportunity.
Yeah, and she kind of said that too. Like, the difference between you and I is kind of, I don't know what she said.
What cards
said,
we were handed.
I don't think she knew much about him, though.
Right, no. She was just doing that based on the interaction with that.
Oh, you must have
you.
A white wife.
No, not that part, but the only, just...
His
a commonality
his,
among us is that we're all human, right? We all are in this human experience. So the only difference between you and me, if we're the same color, is the luck of the draw, I think, is what she was trying to say. These are how the cards landed.
I think we're almost the same color.
They landed.
All right. Hold on. Okay, so we still have a whole nother set of people that we haven't even talked about yet. We haven't
gone into. We're busy arguing over Randall.
Yes, I love Randall with all my heart, but we got two other twins that are there, and they were having a rough time this episode, too.
Well, one was having a rougher time.
We can all agree on that.
We're going to hell. We all got exactly what we asked for, which is the unraveling of Kevin's character.
And
today's episode,
empty.
I was like, we got what we asked for. We're such terrible people.
He's an
this
empty
guy's
vessel.
Lost it.
But I will say, I love him more for that because there's so much more like dynamic things that are underlaying that are just like, I want to fight for him now versus before. I just was like, okay, cool. Now I want to like, come on, you can get through this.
And I think it's crazy or ironic because I'm always opposite with you girls, apparently, because I don't feel inclined to like fight for him. I'm just like, I like that he's honest and he's open, because I think that's something that in relationships,
is he open?
I was gonna say, is he?
Well,
and he's definitely not honest.
Well, okay, in terms of honesty, I was like, in terms of honesty,
take back your open.
So I'm referring to the end where he's like, you know what?
Okay,
I've been playing a part, like I see a nightmare when I think about my future with you.
God, and that line.
Harsh.
Oh,
just
cringeworthy.
Oh, it just hurt me.
Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to deal with rejection. But I think a lot of times, like in relationships, more often than not, you know, you get honesty from the person and it's easy to like overlook or sweep under the rug. So I think we'll see where this character is going to go. And I want to know just how honest he is being about it. I don't know if maybe he wasn't high or like going through this.
I don't think he has anything right now at all. I think everything's been stripped from him. Mm-hmm. Like he even said he's an empty vessel. So what is there left at this point? Like,
yeah,
it breaks my heart because I feel like with Kevin, and I feel like that's why in the next episode they were doing a lot of flashbacks to what his life is about. He's getting the award, going to high school. Is that Kevin just feels the pressure of Jack. He doesn't think he's going to ever be a good enough father and a good enough husband. So I feel like when he had that flashback, when he's walking through the room and he sees his son and he's not a good father, I think that Kevin absolutely, especially the way I see that he loves his sister, has the potential to love. There's just that lack of fatherly, paternal figure from his father dying that he feels like, I think that he feels like Jack is weighing over his head and that he's never going to be a good enough husband or a good enough father. He's not even allowing himself. And honestly, I feel so bad for his ex-wife / new ex-girlfriend now, apparently. Right. Because she's like, I was good. Like, I was living my life. You came back to my doorstep.
Yep.
And I know so many girls that are going through that. Like, I hear girlfriends tell me all the time that guys, they gave him second chances and all this stuff. So it's like, but it's he's not doing it intentionally.
Right.
He just has some deep-rooted issues.
I was waiting for him to literally confess that, like, I'm addicted to my painkillers, because he's completely drenched, sweating, and it's not raining outside, so it was full-on sweat.
Right.
And I think him really not being able to pick a ring was his wake-up call on top of his, like, dreams within the hospital and everything.
Right.
I think it was the beginning of it, because the fact that you don't know your person enough to know what kind of ring she would like, and you're just flaunting your money that's empty. Like, it's an empty gesture.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because you feel like that's what you should do.
Because your sister's pregnant.
Yeah. And so you feel like you need to do something to step it up. And, like, he's playing the part.
Right. And so, even when he went shopping for the ring, he said, oh, this is what my dad would do.
Yeah.
Something romantic, some big romantic gesture whenever you're having this issue with mom. And that's the problem. He needs to come to the point where he can accept. And I think that may be the benefit that Randall has just with being adopted. Because I can clearly accept that I'm not going to be this man, because to a certain extent I'm detached from him. But I think as soon as Kevin accepts that he's not going to be his father and that he doesn't have to be him, that he can just live his life, then we can see, like, okay, a good version of Kevin maybe kind of come out of that.
Randall is more Jack than anything in the world.
Right. But he doesn't have to prove.
His biological son.
But I think that's why he doesn't have to prove anything to be more like Jack, because I'm not him.
With Kevin, too, I think he never, ever figured out who he was to begin with. If we watch even the young one, like, he's just kind of going with the motions. Like, he's the cool kid. So he has nothing more than just being the cool kid.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the attention from either of his parents. He's the middle child, middle syndrome. Like, Jack is always focused on Kate, and Rebecca he may not even be the middle child.
I think he came first.
Either way, he's treated like the middle child, because then he never gets the anything except for when he's getting reprimanded,
when he's
in trouble. So what else is he gonna do? He doesn't have that identifier of who he is as a person throughout his entire life. So if all he's writing off on his looks, then, like, eventually you're gonna realize that there's no substance to anything. Like, Sophie's been there since the beginning, so did they ever really have substance to their relationship?
ever.
I mean, I do believe him when he says that he loves Sophie.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Because there's something that she has within her that he gravitates to that mm-hmm. completes him
that he in always whatever
and sense you take that. But I do also believe him when he says he's empty because there's something he's not dealing with, so he doesn't feel. So he doesn't mm-hmm. he doesn't fill himself up with real glee. Because he's like, if I start to feel something, then I'm going to have to feel everything. And yep. I don't want to feel everything.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to feel anything.
Yeah. I will tell you something, though. In Kevin's defense, and I noticed that I thought this scene had a purpose. And now that we're sitting here talking about Kevin, to his defense, the Jack, you know, the Jack.
Yes.
The Jack.
Right.
The father, the husband, given the fact that he's an alcoholic, he is the Jack. Like, even in our family, like, we talk about him like he's...
It.
It, you know? Toby felt pressure. Toby's mm-hmm. talking to an urn, mm-hmm. and he says, you would do a more romantic proposal. You would do this. You would do that. From what Kate told me, you would want this. You would be like this. It's not just Kevin that feels the pressure.
Yeah.
Randall feels it too, but I feel like Randall, I just love Randall. I don't even know about Randall, why he's yeah. he's just amazing, but I also think it's because, you know, he has these panic attacks, and he has, I believe anxiety is what causes these attacks. He's more in tune with his feelings. Where Kevin, and then even, I'm telling you, Toby doesn't even know him, and he feels this pressure from, like, an urn.
Right. Well, I think Jack even felt that pressure for himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, he even, like, when he confronted Rebecca a couple episodes ago, he was like, I'm not enough. I'm not the mm-hmm. man that you need me to be. So I think this figmentation of what we put around, like, father figures in general, it's like the day that you realize your parents are human, mm-hmm. and you realize that your parents aren't superheroes anymore. And I think because he died at such a young age, for them, they never had that realization that their father was a human. Mm. They always have this fantasized version of what he was. Because that last minute, yes, he did share that he was an alcoholic, but he was fighting. So again, he's still Superman.
And he's always fighting through.
And he was always real. So you never had that moment in your lifetime when you realize that your parents are still human beings. And I think all of us finally come to that. And then we give our parents some slack. And we give ourselves some slack because we're not trying to reach this, like,
hey, Jack level. Is perfect. Stop mm-hmm. it.
And kidding. That's the problem. Yes,
but I think that that's the thing.
Problem. I'm kidding. No one's perfect.
They're never going to reach that. And Jack never even reached that. Mm-hmm. No one can reach
that. Oh, and then if you guys forgot, in the earlier episodes, Miguel felt the pressure too. He's like, yeah, I'm never going to be Jack. It's like, everyone feels this pressure. So it's not just Kevin, poor Kevin.
And would they feel that pressure if Jack wouldn't have died?
I doubt it.
I don't think anyone would feel that pressure. I think because you're fighting with the ghost.
No. Mm-hmm. I know. I think a little bit of it is a natural bit of pressure. I think as a man and looking at father roles and kind of going into adulthood, I think there is a certain level of pressure that comes with that and that you naturally have for, like, your father or parents.
But so, I don't think as much as they have.
Yeah,
it.
Because I think that they would be able to pick up the phone or they would be able to go knock on the door and say, yeah. hey, Dad, I'm having a really rough day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, can you talk me through it? Like, I feel like I'm going to be a crap husband to Sophie. Right. Can you talk me through it? I feel like I'm a terrible brother to Randall. Can you, you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. having yeah. him still be there, it would alleviate any, the pressure would still be there. I agree.
Yes.
Especially because he's still perfect. If he was still there, I still have to deal with the fact that you're perfect in all these circumstances.
We idolize this guy. There's like going to be pressure.
And then they would get to the point where they're like in their 30s and they're seeing Dad's not perfect.
No.
Like,
yeah,
they hid a lot from us when we were younger. And
there's still stuff
slow,
that we don't know so. About.
Exactly.
We still don't know any of this stuff about the history with his brother, what happened overseas. Like,
right.
we don't know
How
anything
much
about
do we
the
really
PTSD.
Know.
We don't know alcohol. So there's a lot of things, again, like what I was saying is that we have this moment when we realize our parents are human and they never got that because all those secrets are still secrets.
And then now you have, you know, Kate's pressure, which I would say that's the part where, like, I was holding myself back all episode. There was, like, at least 25 times that you could tear jerk. But it was this scene where Kate was saying, let's just go get married at the courthouse. She's like, I don't want people being like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I wish your dad was here. Oh, the father-daughter dance. Oh, he's going to walk you down the aisle. And it's a sad realization that as a daughter especially, like, there is a lot of emphasis on your father. Like, when you're in school, father-daughter dances. So it's like, I do think he's an incredible person and he's not perfect. I will say, though, he was real.
Of course, he's imperfectly perfect or perfectly imperfect.
He,
I love that.
He stood by his faults. He stood by his lacking as a husband, lacking as a father. And I think Kevin is just as good of a person. But what holds me back from Kevin is that now we're finally obviously seeing him being honest with himself. But he hasn't been honest until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with Kate, like, why have you not told your twin that you're, like, spiraling down, like when she's like, oh, I'm pregnant, like his face, he looked so freaking sad. Yeah. I feel like he was sad, like he found out his friend in his class is not going to be in his class next year. Like, that's how sad he looked, like he was just missing out.
I kind of wish when he went up to Sophie, I almost felt like there was a ... at the end of his sentence before she closed the door. And I almost feel like he was getting ready to tell her what was going on with him, and then she slammed the door.
I wish she would have, like, done the Rebecca, like, not close that door.
Yeah.
Because he was sweating and panting. No, and
I think she needed to do the Rebecca and close that door, because this has been open before.
Yeah.
This is the second time we're going down this road.
Rebecca didn't close the door, though.
No, I'm saying Sophie. She's been through it with him before. So, you want to be honest? If you tell me that if you think of your future with me, you see a nightmare.
But he said it was him, though, not her.
I don't care. It's with me.
Yeah.
Ain't no
I agree with that. But at the same time, like, I was just waiting for him to finish his sentence to where it could have changed. Like, if he would have said, but I'm spiraling or something like that, that would have made me stop. I would still be pissed at him. But it would have made me be like, okay, what's really going on? Like, this isn't really you. Like, why are you saying all of this?
I feel that she tried to say that. And I think for Kevin, he needs to have this moment where he is completely broken and falls on his face.
Well, he's not getting her back.
Well, he's not getting her back, but I like that she's not going to coddle him or be the person. He's always have somebody to save him, whether it's Kate or whether it's Sophie. He has somebody who he can run to and they can fix him up and tell him he's worthy and going about his business. So I think now he'll get the opportunity to really, like, get to know himself and, you know, hopefully see that he's enough and whatever he wants in the
Keith's
future.
Keith's not messing around, you guys. He has no right, by the way, to say that Randall was not understanding with Deja's mom, because you're not understanding about Kevin.
I am.
Truth. Truth.
No.
Truth. This, baby time.
Agree.
Baby
if you agree time. With me, raise your hand.
I am understanding of Kevin.
Bad. He would just close. He was panting, sweating. He was at the hospital. There's clearly something wrong with the guy.
But he needs this. Otherwise, he's going to be the same presentation of Kevin that we've always
well,
had.
We also know that we don't know which route he's going to take. Yeah, maybe he needs this, but which way is it going to take? Is he going to take more pills now? Well, or is he going to realize that he doesn't?
Listen, sometimes...
That's on your conscience, Keith.
Sometimes that's
if he harms himself, it's on you. Because you told him to close that door.
Listen, sometimes people need Deja's someone to hug them.
Mom said she didn't have a choice,
he
so whatever whatever happens, it's necessary.
He needs a hug.
Work, I don't think tough love works with him. He's actually lacking love, which is weird to say, but everything about him, I feel like he... is lacking love.
He can go right back and get it from his family. I think it'll just come full circle.
I don't think anyone really, like, shows him the love that he needs, so they coddle him.
Right, but
that's a big difference.
So the point I want to make here, let's be clear, is that out of this brokenness, I feel that if he goes and kind of, if he can't call on Sophie, then he has no choice but to turn to his family, and they'll be able to see, maybe we did miss the mark. Maybe Kevin didn't get enough attention. Maybe, you know what I mean?
37 years later, what can we give him?
You guys, better late than never.
You guys, we're having a moment right now. 7 episodes in. This is the first episode. We're disagreeing on multiple topics.
Right.
That's nice.
Someone take note. This is not the second thing that half of us are.
Right.
She's really staying out of it. She's. But you're right. You have the veto power, girl.
Yeah, I can understand both sides.
Yeah, like, I do.
Going back to when Sophie and Kevin got back together, I remember being like, it's too fast. Like, she jumped all the way in. So now that he's like, I don't basically want this, she's like, I gave up my life for you.
Yeah,
like, I threw away
the
other relationship that I was in, and then you're going to say that to me? I don't want to have anything to do with you.
And he didn't show up to the chair, or he was there, but the charity event, he like went MIA.
Right.
He's canceled on her 3 times. He's not reliable.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I mean, I think she was very valid in slamming the door. I'm not saying that.
But, like,
I think
make
I would
sure
too.
He's in but a cab yes. going
make sure
some,
he's alive.
Uber. At least order the Uber or something.
Here, let me get you an Uber, honey. Bye.
I still feel like if she's a nurse, there should be something
she
that she can
this
see.
True.
You
and
know
she
what I'm
did
saying?
Say
like,
it. She said, you're spiraling. So I don't know how much she knew, but she should have some kind of intuition at this point, because he's your man and you're a nurse. Like, something should be telling you this isn't
well, you know what's enough. Annoying? We don't know how he died, which I still think.
Well, it was like, Kevin.
I don't know.
What?
Spoiler alert, Kevin dies.
Like, wait a minute.
Spoiler alert.
Like, we don't know who died.
No, so, you know, because they said that Kate parks outside the house that's not there anymore. I feel like we're missing so many keys to why they're all reacting to certain things, because we don't know how Jack died.
We
was
still
it somebody's
won't know
fault?
For a
was
while.
It natural? Was he a drunk? Like, what was he?
Well, we have three more episodes this season. They're not telling us at all. Because they're all going to be focused on the big three individually. So I'm excited for that. But we only have a few minutes left, and I'm trying to get to the baby part.
Okay.
And baby and marriage. So we haven't even touched on baby and marriage yet.
Right. Kate and Toby are having a baby.
Yay!
And they're telling people.
That sweater thing was so cute.
Yeah, but the fact that she's telling at 10 weeks is makes very me nervous. Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, months.
When she said the 10-week chart, I was like, oh,
before
gosh.
Before she starts sharing.
Where are we going?
I know. They're doing too much with the baby sweaters. I think they're going to give it to us and then take it away from us, and I don't want to put that in the universe, but
we've been thinking this for a while, though.
And it's just dropping breadcrumbs.
Sad. Don't do that to us. You make us cry way too much in the show.
But it's reality, though.
It's real.
Her age and her weight, it plays a part.
It's definitely a factor. And I wonder what made her, because I feel like when she first learned that she was pregnant, she was, you know, granted, definitely more protective, more in tune with, like, the situation. And I don't know if she's just falling into the ideal of it and getting caught up. But Toby's it's surprising excitement. That at 10 weeks that she's going to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Because your doctor most times is going to tell you, okay, you know, there's this waiting period. So it was surprising that now she's at this super excited, ecstatic portion. She wants her family to know. She wants his mom to know.
She didn't tell her mom or Randall. Why is his
mom
finding out before her mom?
That's
honestly
true.
That kind of bothered me, because now I know we always put this whole big thing around Jack and he's so amazing, but Rebecca's a pretty freaking awesome mom.
She's
amazing.
I know
we've never been on her side. Like, we haven't not been on her side, but we don't give her enough credit. After today's episode, she wrote a letter to that judge. She did her, what was 20 years ago, the 80s Photoshop.
Right.
And she's like, this is my family. Put it on your wall. Like, she fought for Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate just has this thing with her mom. Like, the mom, the other mom's already calling the priest, and her mom doesn't even know yet.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's telling of why her mom's not the first to know. Because of their relationship. Mm-hmm. It is strange.
Well, I mean, she already had that argument at her performance, and I think that things didn't ever get picked up where they, like, left them there. I don't think that they're working. But, I mean, that whole conversation between Toby and Jack broke my heart. I just cried so hard.
And it made so much sense.
Yeah.
Like, I could really see if that Toby happened. Really existed, him sitting and looking at that urn, like, okay, let's break it down.
Right.
She loves weddings. What is going on?
Right.
What should I do?
She has say yes to the dress and she has the book. That's so cute.
Yeah, it was so believable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so, like, heartbreaking, because she's never going to get that moment with her dad, and he's trying so hard to just respect her father and her ideal of her father still, and I just thought that was so beautiful.
And honestly, her hesitations were so valid, not just about her father and, oh, I'm so sorry, I know this, but the wedding dress.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Like, even when she was shopping for, I think it was, like, the birthday or what was it? She was doing some event where she was singing.
Her performance.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can imagine she's going to go somewhere, love a dress, and they're going to be like, oh, I am so sorry, and it's like...
Mm-hmm.
I still think Toby and Kate are getting up there. Next, they're reaching up to Randall and
they're getting there. With the sweatshirt thing, though, $200 for the sweatshirts to propose.
That's crazy.
The best is the question mark.
It's Wait.
You marry me? And he goes, wait.
Question mark. Right?
It was great.
And that was hot as hell, though, in that.
It was
Oh, my
God. But I wonder if we'll get to see them get married. If they're going to
they better give it to us.
I think if they're going to face, like, you know, if we have this issue with the baby situation, like, okay, when are we actually going to get to see them, you know, get married? So hopefully we get to see her have this dream wedding and the dress.
And then Kevin can crash it getting drunk and...
Oh, great.
Giving a messed up speech.
That was, like, so much fun.
No, right. We'll see.
Be like, I don't have anybody. But congratulations to the happy couple.
Another thing I love about Kate and Toby is that relationships aren't as conventional anymore. And I like that they're showing she kind of proposed to him while he was unconscious. So it's like it's taken the ball out of, like, letting the guy decide when. And then they're obviously, I mean, they are engaged, but they're, like, living together before marriage.
Right.
And his mom is super religious. And now she's pregnant at a wedlock. I mean,
and he's divorced. Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I thought so.
He's divorced.
I thought
so.
I was like,
because there was last season.
Remember, we met
the ex-wife.
Oh my God, she was obsessing over her.
Mm-hmm. Because when they were at the courthouse, I guess, the Justice of the Peace, and he was like, I never thought we'd be getting married under so many fluorescent lights. And I was like, but you've gotten married.
But does he have a daughter or no?
I don't think so. No. Okay. I don't think they have any kids. Okay. So this would be his first child.
It was like an assistant.
I forgot. And then Kate like wanted to go work for her. She started like obsessing over her. Yes.
Yeah, but that's been a while.
I love Kate. I hope she needs her happy ending. She needs a baby and she needs a wedding.
And she needs to resolve things with her mother.
If she doesn't get it, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry anyways, but I really want her to get it.
I mean, we've been crying a lot this episode, guys. Yeah, a lot.
Someone needs to do something to mend her and Rebecca. I'm not down for this shit anymore. Now that I've seen that Rebecca is an incredible mom, not that I questioned it, but I didn't. They've always put emphasis on Jack. We have to admit the writers are like,
of course,
give Jack like a big halo. But now Rebecca, after today's episode, she stood up for Randall. And I don't remember who said in the chat, but someone said, or two people said, that now it explains why Rebecca kept it from Randall, because she was afraid of losing him. Yeah. I get it now.
And I think, too, it's very reflective of how society puts so much stigma on a woman, if you really think about it, that they're doing a great job realizing that we side with Jack because we always side with the dad. The mom automatically gets the flack for everything that goes wrong. Automatically, the mom is always the bad person when it comes down to the same decision that the dad could have made. And it's the same way. We do the same thing with Rebecca. We put her to such high standards because Jack is so amazing, but yet she's just as amazing. We just see her as like, she's the mom. She should be doing better. She should be doing this. Da, 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 da. So I think that that also makes me think like, that's an idea that we put around women and a stigma that we put around them. They should be doing everything right.
Yeah, for me, though, my hesitation with her was that lie. And I said that not that I'm saying I wouldn't have done the same or I would have done different, because now that we see from Randall and Beth's perspective, they didn't tell Deja that her mom didn't want to see her, which we saw was because the mom got jumped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he did lie to her.
You're trying to protect your children the best way that you can.
But now that I know and I've seen that Randall could have been taken away from her, I understand it. Yeah. I understand why she was trying to hold on to him so hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to something that you just said, Candace, about them lying, finishing that conversation about them lying to Deja, or Randall lying to Deja about why
the mom,
the switch and the mix up. Yeah. I don't know. I don't necessarily think it was just to protect Deja. I kind of think it was to protect Shauna as well.
Yeah, to keep
a positive
image of your mother.
For her to just, for Randall to sit back down and say, well, your mom didn't want to see you today, that would make Deja feel some type of way.
Right. Yeah. And in turn, probably reflect bad on him, because then she'd be like, well, why did you tell me? Why did you bring me? It would have ended up blowing in his face regardless. Yeah. So I think,
And then he would have also looked like the guy, the foster dad, that's using this as a tool to bring her closer, which would end up backfiring on him. But I did like how Randall was upset with his mom. You know what I'm telling you? They're bringing everything full circle this episode. He was upset with his mom for keeping from him about the father. And then he was like, we have to decide. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. What we're going to tell them, what we're not, because we need to protect them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, we don't really have too much time for predictions. I love you, Mom. I feel like we've done a lot. Aww.
I love my mom.
Lena's just going to take it right there.
I love my mom.
The only news
I said we all love our mom.
Oh.
I love my mom.
No, because we're talking about moms, and it's true. Like, they get a lot of flack. And I just realized, like, sometimes I give my mom a hard time. Sorry, Mom.
I talk to my mom about, like, 3 times a day.
Okay.
She doesn't like it. She don't like talking on the phone. She's like, quit calling me.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom, I love you.
My mom, if she's watching a soap opera, she's like, oh, okay. You're busy, right? Okay, we'll talk later. I'm like,
right?
You must be watching your soap opera right now. You gotta go.
I'll tell my mom, I'm getting ready to turn here. Okay, well, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, just because I'm turning down the
street doesn't mean. It's like, it's my idea. Like, she's doing me a favor. I'm like, I just like, called I you 30 I'll seconds you ago.
I'm not done. Yeah, anytime I'm selling myself, I always talk about my mom and the way I was raised. That's my biggest selling
point. There you go. Mm-hmm. And go, well, we don't have predictions, but the only news I found this week was
AfterBuzz TV.
Shout out to Steve.
Thank you very much. What up? Milo is doing a new movie with J-Lo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Milo and J-Lo.
Hello, J-Lo.
Oh, my gosh. I saw her. I saw that she posted something on her Instagram, and I was like,
Well, when I was scrolling, it wasn't from either of them. It was from one of those new celebrity sites. I was like, hold up.
Right.
They're dating?
Oh, my God.
No. Because it doesn't look like a film set. It looks like they're at a coffee shop, and someone caught them. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, she's cheating.
Oh, my God.
No.
But I don't know how I feel about this, guys. I only want to see with Mandy Moore.
Right. I know, I'm interested in how I never would have thought to have them. I don't know what roles they're playing.
Acting wise.
We were saying that earlier. It's like, I love both of them so much, but them together, I don't know how I feel.
We'll see.
Maybe they're like Jinx. Maybe they're like undercover cops or something, or like detectives together.
That would be very like on the nose with J-Lo's.
It's
like,
something
stuff
different.
Right now.
I can't remember the title of it, but it's super different.
Oh no, it's Milo. So they'd be J-Lo.
I'm not putting them together.
No.
Let it go.
No, but
he's like no.
They are.
And then
separate.
We obviously had the marriage, but we mentioned that last week, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did
with Justin and Michelle.
Yeah.
And there's more pictures out now too.
His wife is beautiful. They're so cute.
They're
right.
They're gonna make beautiful babies.
And I think
they're
I saw something
couple.
About them going on multiple honeymoons, maybe because of Justin's shooting schedule.
Oh wow.
I wonder how much Kevin is like his real, well not Kevin, but how much Justin Hartley is like his character.
I don't think anything
so?
Like
yeah,
him
I
at
don't
all.
Think so.
I've seen him and he's so charismatic and sweet in all of his interviews and just like full of life. I feel like poor Kevin isn't as full right now.
I wonder if all of This Is Us was there. Do we have photos?
What
is it? This Is Us wedding?
I think that they have a couple of photos that are up right now, and then now we're getting ready for Mandy Moore's wedding, too.
And the cast.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the cast was there at their wedding, too.
Yeah.
Which was really nice.
Oh, Mandy Moore's getting married.
Yes.
It's all weird. So they should be, like, marrying the people from the show.
Oh, and Laura. Okay. Laura in the chat said she saw Justin in Bad Moms Christmas over the weekend.
Oh, I need
and
to
I
go
hear
see that.
There's a scene or something. Mm. Where he does a little dance of some sort.
Yes, if you look at the trailer, you do see him.
She said like, a side of him I never thought I'd see.
He's always played that one character. Like, he was in Mistresses, too, and I remember he was in it for, like, a season or two. And
the
he
show?
Was Mistresses, yeah.
With Alyssa Milano?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was with her sister. I'm blanking on the name.
We're over here like,
okay.
Oh, no.
And then he was someone else's ex, and then, I don't know. I stopped watching it. Not that there's anything wrong with it. You should watch it, but I stopped watching it. But he was in it. He played like a doctor that had a weird shoe fetish.
Guys.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I feel like we could just go on and on about this show and about the actors and everything, but we have legitimately exercised all of our time.
Did they turn off our mics?
No. Say hello. We're still here. We're almost done. Don't turn off the lights yet.
Go home.
We're going home. Thank you guys so much for joining us and sitting through our first argument.
Okay. First ever, guys.
I still love you. We agree to disagree, but thank you guys so much for always being here and being involved in the chat and giving your predictions and all of it. We love you guys. And again, you can find me on all my social media. I'm Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
That's right, and I'm Keith Andre.
It's a long night.
You can follow me everywhere at Keith _ Andre.
Keith woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm just telling you guys all right now. He's the one that's been... Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Keith's the best. But you know you did. It's okay.
I just snorted. I'm sorry.
I mean, can we also talk about the fact that you shrunk like 6 inches from the beginning of this?
All right, guys. Oh, my God. My face hurts.
It's been a long day.
I can't do it.
I'm Lena Nori. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori. I woke up on the right side of the bed, even though Keith didn't. And then to my left...
I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby, and we're going home.
I keep
bye.
See
y'all later.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.